311.
Good day and welcome to the 311 radio show. As always, I am very happy to have you here with me today as we talk everything fire and life safety. I am your host for today, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Andrew Taylor, and once again, very happy to have you here with us. We're into the month of May, almost halfway at the halfway mark of the year. And of course, you know, I want to say a shout out to everyone who, you know, is having a birthday this month, because, you know, obviously I may be a bit biased here, but May is the best month of the year because I am also a May born. So that's a shout out to everyone who is born, you know, who's having a birthday this month, of course. I know that I'll be getting some eye rolls and some you know, some sucking of teeth and stuff, but you know, for the people who are unfortunate to be born other months, but that has, you know, that's a bit unfortunate for you all. But yes, just to get that out of the way, hope everyone has been doing well. You had a great week last week, and you're preparing and ready and ready to go for this fresh week. So we're going to talk about a few things today, actually. You know, you have a kind of a mixed bag of treats, so to speak. So you would have heard, one of my colleagues who would be leading for Officer Walks, he would have been speaking to people parking on some very small roads and how it would have impeded their progress in terms of trying to get to a fire one and then actually extinguishing a fire. And, you know, sometimes it's something that we don't hear about often. Not that it doesn't happen, but not every time it happens, you know, our officers will actually say something about it. But unfortunately, it's something that happens quite often here. And, you know, it's a big problem, because normally when we have these issues, it would be, say, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. We may be responding to a house fire or a structural fire somewhere across the island. And people have cars parked, you know, a little indiscriminately in the road. The road is already not that wide. And of course, you're dealing with a truck. It's not like an average size vehicle. And, you know, sometimes then you have, let's say, 5 people parked on the left side, and then someone leaves a space, and then you have now 4 people parked on the right side, and someone leaves another space. And some of these spaces that are left are barely wide enough for a car to fit through. And of course, then we are actually on the outside blowing the horn, sirens going, and we have to wait until someone actually, you know, wakes up or something like that to actually come out and move the vehicle. And, you know, from previous shows, we will always mention that fire grows in intensity and size every 30 seconds. So just imagine the valuable seconds and maybe even going into minutes that we are losing when we have to wait on people to come out and move vehicles that, you know, maybe have parked, you know, indiscriminately, or not left enough space for a bigger vehicle to fit through. So definitely, you know, I thank Leading for Officer Walks for making that statement and bringing it to the fore. You know, sometimes I say we need to speak up more about these things and make people aware of what they're doing, because, you know, it's not a case where sometimes people may do something on purpose. You know, so, you know, people may not park their cars and settle and say, okay, I'm going to park my car in a way that is going to stop an ambulance from passing or a fire truck from passing. You know, sometimes we just do things as human beings. And, you know, we obviously were not thinking the worst case scenario, because, you know, hardly anyone, you know, goes straight to the worst case scenario where things are concerned. But we always have to leave that room in case of emergency. So just the next time you park, just make sure you leave enough of a space for a truck, at least a fire truck or a large vehicle to get through, so that then we don't have these problems when we are responding. And I think also Divisional Officer Perch, he also made a similar statement to that effect shortly after Leading Fire Officer Watts made his statement about the same issue. And that was obviously another incident that Divisional Officer Perch attended. And he had the same issue, or the arriving officers had the same issue with persons not basically leaving the roadway free enough for them to access the emergency. So just that note up front, just to keep people aware, you know, just keep it in the back of your mind, you know, it may not just be me or another my neighbor coming through the area. Something bad may happen and we may need to call for help. And we need to be, you know, to be a bit more mindful and just leave that space that we can actually come and do our jobs if necessary. Obviously, we don't want any emergencies to be in our neighborhood, but, you know, unfortunately, emergencies don't pick and choose where they're going to happen. So just always to leave that in case space, if you want to put it that way. So I'm going to give you a few stats at this moment. And we're going to start off with the complete stats for the year so far. So that is from January 1st to April 30th, January 1st to April 30th. And we have responded to 752 fires so far for the year. That's 752 fires. And just to remind you that the total amount of fires we responded to for 2022 would have been 939. So that's 939 for the entire year. So for the 12 months of 2022, we have responded to 939 fires. And so far, for the first 4 months, not full 12 months, for the first 4 months of the year, we have unfortunately responded to 752 fires. And that is just probably 180 or just more fires shy of the complete total for the total for 2022. So definitely an issue there that just after 4 months, we are almost matching the fire totals for an entire year. And of course, that is very concerning to us because clearly something has gone wrong because fires were trending downward. Yes, they have started trending downward last month. Sorry, no, just said that we were in May. They have started trending downward since April, but still the fact that we are here at 752 fires in the first 4 months of the year is still startling. So I said 752 fires. Out of that, we would have had 28 house fires and, of course, 176 rubbish fires and 424 grass fires so far for the year. So that's 424 grass fires, 176 rubbish fires, and 28 residential fires. Of course, you have the other fires, utility poles, cane, what we call other structurals. So we let's say sheds or containers. We sometimes list those as other structurals. Motor vehicle fires, and also trees, trash fires. So all those are other fires that actually make up the stats. But obviously the categories that we kind of focus on or narrow in on would be the residential fires, of course, the rubbish fires, and the grass fires. Now the other fires are not a concern to us, but obviously, you know, these three categories, they have the higher amount of incidents. And of course, you know, these are the ones that we want to see really trending downward as they can cause the most damage, actually. Because for sure, you know, the rubbish fires can easily spread and damage homes or destroy homes. Same thing with grass fires can easily get out of control because we can clearly see that we're having some very high winds recently. And of course, conditions are very dry. Yes, we had a few days of rain, but if we really had a look at it, the amount of rainfall that we had wasn't really, you know, if it was significant to really cool things down. So, but we are thankful for the rain, of course. But yes, of course, outside is very dry. And like I said, we have some pretty high winds. So grass fires can quickly get out of control and obviously go on to damage or destroy someone's home, even your own home. So we just continue to tell people to not to burn at all. If you can find an alternative to burning, please find it. And I'm always thankful that people are calling in and asking about alternative ways. asking for help. We prefer to, you know, help you and give you that advice, and for you to take matters into your own hands and just decide to get rid of the rubbish or get rid of the grass from the vacant lot next to you, and then it leads to something greater, and of course, could lead to tragedy, and that is what we are trying to avoid. So once again, just to repeat that, so 752 fires we have responded to between January 1st and April 30th, compared to the full year 2022, where we only responded to 939 fires. So once again, January, we're just going to break it down a little bit more for you. January, we've had 60 fires in all. February would have gone to 122, so almost doubling the amount moving from January to February, so from 60 to 122. Then March was the hot month, if we want to call it that. March was the hot month, and we moved from 122 fires from February to 323 in March. So it was a significant jump from February to March, going from 122 to 323. I said we had almost 217 grass fires in March alone, all right? Compared to, so imagine 217 grass fires alone compared to 122 total fires for 1 month, which was in February. And we had 216 grass fires in just March alone. Nothing to do with the complete total, which was 323, but just grass fires alone shot over the total amount of fires for the month of February. And as I said, we have started to see a downward trend so far in April. We're right now at 247 fires, so down from the 323 to 247. Still quite a significant drop. We are very grateful for that, you know, because at the end of the day, it tells on the resources, and not just the human resources, but also our water resources. You know, from the shows I had recently with Dr. Kirk Douglas, and I want to thank him once again for sparing the time out of his schedule to meet with us and discuss biosecurity and drought and the effect of wildfires and the effect of drought, that what they will have us here in Barbados and the region in the now and going forward, because we can, I think we've passed the stage where we can talk about the future. We really have to deal with what is happening now. Or not, the future will not be very bright at all for any of us. So even in terms of him talking about water scarcity, I think water scarcity is something that is not a strange word or a strange term for us to hear in Barbados. Growing up, I always heard about, you know, Barbados being a water scarce country. And I don't think anything has changed since I've gone any older. So definitely we want to see the fires reducing, because at the end of the day, as I say, it not only pulls on the human resources as the firefighters who have to deal with these fires, but also the water resources, which we can, you know, ill afford to be wasting. And I consider it wasting, because majority of these fires should not have been started in the first place. I can understand a legitimate accident or incident, but most of these fires, as you know, we would see here on the show, are caused by persons, you know, on purpose. No accident. People just want to burn indiscriminately, and then it leads to something bigger, especially when it gets out of control. So, as I said, I'm very happy that the fires are trending downward. So, as I said, we had 247 for April, down from 323 from March. Of course, our residential fires are still a very big concern to us. And unfortunately, recently, a few house fires this year, we have actually lost people. So some persons actually lost their lives due to the house fires. And of course, we want to express our condolences to the families of those who lost loved ones in house fires recently, and even over the years. A sobering statistic that a lot of people may not know is that between 1984 and 2023, this year, we have lost approximately 95 people to house fires. So that's between 1984, yes, it may sound long ago, and 1984 and 2023 up to present, we have lost 95 persons due to house fires here in Barbados. And you know, for me, I always say one house fire is one too many. So for sure, if I say that about a structure, you know, definitely one life lost to house fire is definitely one too many, or art of fire generally is definitely one too many, because at the end of the day, we can replace things. So you can get a new home, you can get a new car, whatever the material thing may be, but unfortunately we cannot bring back anyone. So, you know, just once again, condolences to those who have lost loved ones, especially recently due to house fires. And this is one thing that, you know, this is why we keep pushing the message of fire safety, because, you know, for us it's important to preserve life. Our key role in the fire service, yes, we are here to protect property, but our number one priority is to preserve life. Life and anything else after that. So that is why we keep pushing this fire safety message. Not because we like to talk or hear ourselves or see ourselves on television or whatever the case may be. But definitely we continue to push this message because we want to save lives. And not just yours, but your children and your children's children and their children, because we want a message to stick with you and for you to pass on that message to generations and generations and generations, because we don't want the message to be lost anywhere. Because fire safety, as I keep telling people, you know, people put security as number one, but they also see fire safety as a part of security. Because you're securing, you're trying your best to secure your home against the effects of fire. Okay, so don't separate the circuit TVs and the cameras and the monitors and everything and the motion sensors and the alarms, the burglar alarms. Yes, you can have those, but as you are buying those, also buy your smoke detectors. As you're getting the cameras put around your home, buy your smoke detectors. As you're setting up your monitors so you can watch from your cell phone. As you're setting your motion sensors, also get your fire extinguishers, because all go to security and safety. You're protecting. Think of it this way: you're protecting your home security wise from someone from the outside getting in, but now you have to protect it from the inside. Because fire normally starts in your home from the inside, from the kitchen, from an appliance, from inside a room. Okay, unless it's a criminal act, then normally fires will start from the inside of your home. So always think about that. There's an enemy that's on the inside with you. Okay, not the one you're trying to keep from the outside coming in. This is one that's on the inside with you. So that is why we really push for people to get those smoke detectors. As we say, it's an early warning device. So if there's anything going on inside the home, any sense of smoke or anything like that, that smoke detector is going to give you that early warning. So it at least gives you a chance to get out, to stay out, obviously. You know, we always preach that once you get outside, do not go back inside for anything. Nothing inside is worth it. Especially if it's something material, nothing inside is worth it. Once you get outside, stay outside. As I said, the 30 seconds or more you took to get outside, that fire has already grown and intensified in those 30 seconds. Okay, so once you get outside, stay outside. And of course, call that emergency number 311 to have us respond and help you as quickly as possible. And of course, even with the extinguishers, If it's a small fire and that, and you believe that you can handle it, then you go ahead and use your extinguisher, and that can even prevent the fire from getting any bigger and for the situation from becoming any worse. So that's where we keep pushing it. You know, as I said to some persons the other day, let's just say you buy an extinguisher at the top end of the scale. So let's say $350, we just use that for easy math. And you had to buy two smoke alarms. And I said that $25 each, once again, for easy math. So $350 and $50 is $400. Compare $400 to your home, that is way more than that. Some people have shoes that are more than $400. Okay, your television alone may be more than $400 compared to an entire house and its contents, its full contents. So when you look at there's not even, you know, it came up for me words. There's no scale that you can wear that on that will make sense. You know, that you are not spending at least $400 to protect 400,000 or $400 to protect 300,000 or 200,000. No matter what the figure may be, the amount that you're going to spend on fire safety itself is going to be significantly smaller than the cost of your home and its contents. And of course, significantly lower than what you are worth, which is priceless. You're priceless. Okay, and these are things that are designed, that were designed to save your life and save the lives of others, especially your loved ones who may live with you. So once again, go there. If you have to save some money, if you have to buy, I don't know, if you have to buy less chips this week, you know, if you have to buy less of something, some favorite snack or something this week, just to make sure that you can save and buy that smoke detector or that extinguisher, please do it. By the end of the day, you know, it's life-saving. Sometimes we think we can't do without things, and then you'll be surprised that, you know, once you do without for a while, then you realize, hey, I can't live without this thing. So please, I'm imploring everyone who's hearing me today, head out there, get your smoke detector. If you don't have one already, get your fire extinguisher, okay, and have these things in your home so that you can be in some state of readiness just in case something happens. And we have to understand that anything can happen at any point in time. Okay, so just to put that out there again, just for the safety, obviously we are pretty happy. We haven't had a lot of house fires recently. We still have one or two, and even some that are impacting large amounts of large numbers of people. I think one recently, about 12 or 13 people were displaced in that one fire. So obviously, you know, that is a heavy impact on that household and on that community. So we always, you know, have these people in our thoughts and our prayers as they have to deal with the after effects of losing their home and their possessions to fire. And as I always say, it's not easy. I mean, I have not gone through it personally, and I hope that I will never go through it personally. But as I said, from working in the section that dealt with fire victims, it's never easy for me at the end of the day to hear the stories of fire victims and, you know, for someone to come and say, well, this is all I have, you know, the clothes that I have on, this is all I have. I'm basically feeling helpless at the end of the day, because there's not much that you can do at that point for them. Besides trying to get them back up and running in terms of, you know, getting back their IDs, their immigration, their passports, you know, stuff like that to get back. These little things that kind of make life, you know, normal again for us as we go about our business. So like I said, once again, just continue to be safe, continue to practice, you know, good fire safety, also good housekeeping, as we will constantly say here. So keeping around your home clean, ensure that you don't have like garbage piled up around your home or old wood, that sort of stuff packed up around your home that, you know, someone can easily pass, you know, say a drop of cigarette in it or something like that by mistake or on purpose. And next thing you know, that fire quickly spreads onto your property. So housekeeping is very, very important. You know, keeping all your surroundings clean, especially in these dry times, and I said dry and windy. So just continue to be careful as you move around. So I'm going to just touch quickly on businesses. So we still have a large amount of certificates, printed certificates here at our office. And once again, reminding business owners that under the amendment to the Safety and Health Act, you are supposed to have your certificate displayed in your business. If you don't have it displayed, then you're on the wrong side of the act or wrong side of the law, and you can be fined. So please come and get your certificates so that they can be displayed, and you will be good to go, basically, with everyone. Also, want to remind persons that they should send their applications to have their businesses inspected. Recently, we've been having a lot of phone calls from businesses that have been operating for years. And you know, even though it's a bit shocking sometimes, I'm still happy that people are being honest and stepping up and calling and saying, well, hey, I have been operating for, let's say, 20 years now, and I've never had a fire inspection. What do I need to do? Who do I need to talk to? Can someone come over and give me some advice? So I'm happy to see this happening, that people are actually stepping forward and you know, trying to protect themselves and make themselves compliant with the Safety and Health Act we're at, and to make sure their businesses are, you know, inspected by the fire service so that they can also get their certificates and be good to go. And also, you know, we're happy that people are also still calling in, as I said earlier, asking for advice in terms of burning. People are still calling in for the control burns, which we're happy to hear. Obviously, these are people who have large amounts of land that may have, let's say, you know, overgrown grass and maybe cottage, maybe trees, and they need some advice on how to clear this land. And of course, we try to give the best advice possible. And we don't give advice from our offices. Normally, sometimes an officer will actually go in and inspect the area to see what is the best possible course of action for these people to take in terms of clearing this land. So we don't just sit on the phone and say, okay, well, we think that you need so-and-so, and that's it. You know, on several occasions, we actually have to get out there and go and see what is going on to make sure. Even, yes, if you burn, if you will be affecting your neighbors, you know, was the possibility of this getting out of control and maybe damaging or destroying someone else's home. So we take a lot of things into consideration before even doing a control burn, even though we may be there on site, or even issuing that burn permit for burning of rubbish or land or anything like that. And speaking of burn permits, just want to remind anyone who is selling, cooking commercially, especially people from the trucks, the food trucks, even people from the kiosks, whether it be Oysters or Worthing Court or Baxter's Road, you are supposed to apply for your burn permit. So you have permission to use that open flame. And of course, you are supposed to have an extinguisher at hand in the case of emergency. You know, people may say that we're hard on people or trying to get money from people who are struggling, but it's not that. We're just trying to keep everyone safe. So imagine that permit that you get lasts for an entire year, and you can move around. You can sell. You have crop over and stuff coming up. You can sell at those events as well. So the permit gives you that flexibility that you can sell. We just want to make sure that you have it so that we know that you're practicing under the law, basically operating under the law, and that also you have your extinguisher just in case anything happens. And we will also be looking to hopefully formulate a program that we can do some fire safety training for like the food truck vendors and also the persons at the kiosks and stuff like that. And you know, just to make sure that everyone is on the same page and that you can actually protect yourself. Because it's one thing to have an extinguisher, it's the next thing to be able to use it. Okay, so once again, my time has escaped me. So I just want to thank everyone once again for listening into this edition of the 311 Radio Show. And of course, fire prevention is our intention as always. And as I always like to say, please take care of yourself and each other. Have a great day and an awesome week.
Depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.